John chapter 7, verse 37. Something's already been said tonight about filling us with the Holy Ghost. And I want to talk about the Holy Ghost tonight. John 7 and verse 37. And when you get there, say amen. Amen. All right. Praise God. That tells me you know where it's at. That tells me you've been there. Praise God. If you've been somewhere, you know where it's at. You know how to get there. John 7, 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." Notice this, "which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Simply meaning he had not died, he had not been buried, and he had not risen again. Because the Holy Ghost was not poured out until after the resurrection. It was not poured out until after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord. It took place on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost. Amen. And I want to preach tonight, and I hope that it will minister to someone's heart. I want to just preach for just a little bit that your answer is at the well. Your answer is at the well. Praise God. Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. We thank you for the truth. We ask you to anoint it to our hearts. We ask you, Lord, to fill us all with the Holy Ghost and with excitement and zeal and a desire to live for you like we have never had before. And we ask it tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. If you will help me to minister the word of the Lord here tonight. Amen. You know, when God created man, he gave him a soul. And that soul had fellowship with God in the garden. And that soul that was in Adam and Eve was satisfied. It was at a place where it could feel complete. It was at a place where it felt like it didn't need anything else. Amen. Because there was a communion. There was covenant, there was desire, there was love between man and his creator. And I want to just say tonight that when God created you and I, he created that soul within us. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, there became an empty place in the soul. And that's why their very next two children, Cain and Abel, one of them was a murderer, one of them loved God. There was no evil influence in the world. There was nothing to influence Cain to do what he did. But it was because there was nowhere else to go but evil when you don't have God in your life. I know there's good people, but I'm telling you tonight, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, praise the Lord. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What we need tonight is to understand that our answer is not in anything of this world, but our answer is in the well. Amen. Our answer is in Jesus Christ. Our answer is in having a personal God living inside of us. Amen. Our answer is to be full of the Holy Ghost and to walk in the Spirit. Praise God. And in that respect, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise God. David had the right attitude. He just didn't have the right avenue yet because it had not been opened up. And he said in Psalm chapter 42 and verse 1, He said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Amen. David was expressing to you and I the emptiness that is found in the heart and in the soul of mankind. Amen. Man is trying to fill that empty spot with this, that, and the other. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. They're trying to fill it with this, that, and the other. And our world is not getting better. Our world is getting worse. Amen. We're not coming together in unity, but we are becoming divided. And I'm telling you what, it's not the will of God for us to be a nation divided. It is not the will of God for us to be a church divided. Well, praise God. Amen. I said it this morning and I'll say it again tonight. Amen. God has no respecter of persons, and there is no respecter of persons in New Life Tabernacle in Augusta, Kansas. It doesn't matter to me what color your skin is. Amen. It doesn't matter to me where you've been born or how much money you have or you don't have. Well, praise God. Our God came to fill us all with the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. God came to save us. God came to raise us up. And it doesn't matter who we are or where we're coming from. If you are panting after God tonight, if you are hungry for God tonight, you can find God tonight because He is here in this place. Well, praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank God, thank God. Thank God. What God is looking for is an empty spot to fill. Amen. Water seeks its own level. Praise God. And where there's an emptiness, the water will seek to go in and fill it up. And Jesus cried in the last day of the feast. And this was the feast of the drawing of water. This was the feast that the Jews celebrate of the beginning of their nation. Amen. When Rebekah was spoken to by the servant of Abraham, and Rebekah said, I will go down into the well and I will draw the water and I will water your camels. I will water you. And there is a feast, the feast of the drawing of the water. I have done a little bit of reading on this, and I've found that this is a very exciting celebration that the Jews celebrate. It was the beginning of their nation. Amen. Because out of Rebekah came Jacob. Amen. And Israel and all of that. And I won't go into the history of it here tonight. But it was the beginning. Praise God. And I'm telling you tonight, the beginning came when God filled you with the Holy Ghost. The beginning came when He washed your sins away in baptism. And I just believe tonight, well, praise God, I just believe tonight we ought to have a drawing of the water celebration every time we come to the house of God. This was my beginning. This is the place that it all started for me. This is where it happened in my life, and I'm going to come back. And I'm going to praise Him again. I'm going to thank Him again for all that He has done. Has God done anything good for anybody here tonight? Praise God. Praise God. And during the celebration of the drawing of the water, they will shout. Amen. During the celebration of the drawing of the water, they will praise God and they will get excited. And right in the big middle of that, Jesus Christ stood up and He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Not only should we have a drawing of the water celebration when we come to the house of God, but I believe that when we leave the house of God, we ought to have a celebration of the drawing of the water. Praise God. And when we get up in the morning, the water can begin to flow. Amen. When we go through the course of the day and the devil comes along and tries to assault your life, I'm telling you tonight, we ought to have a celebration. We ought to have a time where we can worship God and give God praise for all that He's done. Amen. I'm not preaching something that I read out of a book. I'm preaching something I've experienced for myself. Amen. I came to God when I was 19 years old. Amen. I was smoking dope. I was drinking. I was smoking. I was cussing. I was doing all of those things. But I'm telling you tonight, when God filled me with the Holy Ghost, that's been about 10 years ago. All right, I'm not going to lie in the house of God. I actually haven't figured it out, so I'm not even going to tell you. How about that? But I got a job in Wichita. I was a welder, and I got a job in Wichita, and I was a single man at 19 years old. And I needed God, and I wanted God so desperately, and the Lord gloriously filled me with the Holy Ghost. And there were times on the job, I used to work at a place called Architectural Art, and we did handrails and fancy architectural fencing and handrails and different things of that nature, aluminum and steel and stainless steel, and it was a very interesting job, and I really enjoyed it. But I'm telling you what, I could not go through the course of a day without talking to my God. Amen. And I could not, as a young new convert in the church, I could not go through the day without tapping in and touching God. And so I looked around and I looked in the place where I worked, and there was equipment everywhere. There was a break and all kinds of things, and then there was a balcony, and up there was all sorts of aluminum extrusions that were stored up there. And I thought, that's my prayer room right up there. That's where I'm going when I need to talk to God. And nobody knew about it, but then on my break, my lunch break, I would go up there and I'd talk to God. I'd talk in tongues, amen, right in the middle of the day. Amen. Some folks, I got a feeling when they leave the house of God, they check out, they're punching out. Amen. I'm done with my religious duty for the day. But I'm telling you what, this is a 24/7 experience with our God. Amen. And I can have Him here at the house of God. I can have Him on the job. It doesn't matter where I'm at. I can find God. I can talk to God. And the reason I did that was because I discovered that my answer is at the well. My answer's at the well. Praise God. It's not anywhere else. It's right there where the rivers of living water are flowing. I got so excited about the Lord. I was working for my brother-in-law down in Mulvane, and he had a welding shop, and he hired me as his worker and helper. And I received the Holy Ghost. I didn't feel satisfied with the experience that I had in the beginning, and so I decided I'm going to have to find some time to pray until I break through and receive what God has for me. And I'm telling you tonight, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll know when you receive the Holy Ghost. In the book of Acts chapter 2, you don't have to turn there tonight, they received the Holy Ghost and they knew they had the Holy Ghost. It wasn't because somebody told them they had the Holy Ghost. It was because fire came down on the top of their heads and they began to speak in a language they had never understood and did not know. You say, well, that was for them. Yes, it was. But Peter said, this is for you and for your children and to them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And if there's anybody here tonight that feels the call of God upon your life, you are a candidate for the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Not only that, Peter stood up and said, this is that which Joel spoke of. He said, in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all the good people. I'll pour out my spirit upon those that's got a lot of money. I'll pour out my spirit upon those that have the right color skin. No, he said, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Well, praise God. I believe God wants to fill everybody here tonight with the Holy Ghost. I believe your neighbors need the Holy Ghost. Our churches need the Holy Ghost. Forget about your doxology. Forget about all your religiosity. It's time to seek God. It's time to get rid of the program and let God have his way and let the Holy Ghost begin to move in among us. Well, praise God. You can get the Holy Ghost during the preaching. You can get the Holy Ghost during worship time. Well, praise God. Praise God. Your answer's at the well. Your answer's at the well. Oh, praise God. You can be seated tonight. Amen. Many, many places the Bible talks about the Spirit of God. But one of the most profound, I think, is in John chapter 3, where the religious man Nicodemus came to Jesus. And he said, we know you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles you're doing except God be with him. Jesus didn't go into all of that. He didn't go into religious things and high and heady and high-minded things. He just looked at him and he said, young man or old man, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Didn't have anything to do with what he said, I don't think, but he cut right to the heart. He cut right to the issue of this man's life. And all of a sudden Nicodemus said, well, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That was his only way of thinking in his carnal mind, in his fleshly mind. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water. Everybody said the water. That's water baptism and of the Spirit, capital S. That's the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Praise God. We must be born of the water and of the Spirit if we are to enter into the kingdom of God. You say, well, why and how? I thought that when we believe on him, as the Bible says, I read it tonight, that they which believe on him should receive. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. I'm telling you, when we believe, we are to believe the gospel. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we believe the gospel. And yet there are many today that don't know what the gospel is. The gospel is that Jesus died, that Jesus was buried, and that he rose again. That is the gospel. The Bible says we are saved by the gospel. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. The preaching of the gospel is the power of God, according to the word of God. Amen. The gospel is what we need to obey, the scripture says. Because he said they have not all obeyed the gospel. Well, how do we obey something that just seems to be a historical significance? How can we obey something that does not necessarily have a command to it? Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. But there is a way to obey the gospel. And if we look at it from this standpoint tonight, it's not so much a matter of obedience from a commandment, but it is enjoining ourselves. It is coming into covenant with God in the same manner that he came into covenant with us. He came and died to fulfill his part. He came and was buried to fulfill his part. He rose again to fulfill his part, his side of the covenant. Amen. I talked about it this morning. A lot of folks are talking about relationship today. It's just having a relationship with God. But I'm telling you tonight, there are many varied and sundry relationships in our world today. Can I just preach a little bit here tonight? I'm telling you, friend, it's not just enough to have a relationship. Because there are some people that I've met, and I can say, yeah, I've met him, I know him. But that doesn't mean that I'm in a close relationship of friendship. Amen. You can say you love somebody. Amen. And that may or may not be true. We're seeing a lot of things today. I talked about it this morning, said I've seen it on Facebook, you know, where it says, I'm in a relationship with so-and-so. And then you look a few months later, and I'm in a relationship with so-and-so. And it's a different relationship. And it's a different person. Amen. It's not supposed to be the same way with our relationship with God. What we need to be in with God is not relationship so much as a covenant with God. And a covenant simply means that God said he would give himself to me, and the other side of it is I must give myself to him. Oh, no, I just want to go to church. That's the kind of relationship I have with him. But in a few months, I'm going to scratch that out and put it on Facebook. Now I'm in a relationship over here with something else. I don't have time for the house of God. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to live for God. But I'm telling you tonight, God's looking for some people that knows where the answer is. It's not anywhere else but at the well. Praise God. And so he did his part with the gospel, and we must do our part in like manner. We cannot go to the cross and die to fulfill our part because we're not God. But we can die in repentance. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. And you'll read it there in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Amen. And it says that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Oh, now it's getting quiet. He gave his all, but all I'm supposed to give is 25%. He gave me his all, but all I'm supposed to do is show up once in a while and contribute my little part. Oh no, I'm telling you tonight, if you're going to live for God and go to heaven, he's got to be the greatest thing in your life. And he gave me everything. He gave me everything he could. He sold everything and bought the field so he could have me. Praise God. He went to Calvary so he could have me. That's how much he loves me. That's how much he loves you. Praise God. That's how much he wants to be in covenant with us. And when we approach him, then we are crucified with him. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him. Notice the with him. We are buried with him by baptism. Romans 6 and 4. Baptism is not a public confession of an inward faith. I've got scripture for you tonight. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. But Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christo. Well, praise God. Not in titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but in the name of Jesus. Why? Because he said, for the remission of sin. When we die, we must be buried. Repentance and baptism deals with the old life. We've got to get rid of the old life. Let me tell you, you'll never have a resurrection until you have a death and a burial. It's an impossibility. You can't rise up again if you've never fallen down. Amen. But we die in repentance with him. We are buried in baptism with him in the name of Jesus Christo. Praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. That's where we are buried. The old is passed away, and now there is an opportunity for all things to become new. And we rise with Him in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, in the power of God. If the Spirit that raised up Christ be in you, it shall quicken your mortal body. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You'll never have a new life until you repent. You'll never have a new life until you're baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. And you'll never have a new life till you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on, let's give God praise and thanks tonight. Jesus, I love you. Lord, have your way tonight. I feel God in this place. I feel God in this place. Hallelujah. There was a lady that came to the Lord in John chapter 4. And I'm going to just touch on this, and then we're going to give you an opportunity to pray tonight. But in John chapter 4, there was a woman at the well. And Jesus came to the well of Samaria. Now, you've got to understand who this lady was, who she was in society, and who she was in her personal life. In society, in the day of Jesus Christ, a Gentile would be considered a dog. They were considered dogs. They were looked down upon. They were just the low of society. But Samaritans, they had a real, it was difficult for them, I guess you could say it that way, because they were lower than Gentiles. They were the breed between the Jew and the Gentile. Oh, half-breed. Amen. And looked down upon in society. It's amazing to me that Jesus came along, and boy, he hit him right between the eyes. And he said there was a man traveling on the road to Jericho, and the man fell among thieves, and they robbed him and stripped him and beat him and almost killed him and left him. Amen. And all of a sudden, down the road comes a priest. Praise God. This religious Jew. Amen. High, mighty, pious. Everybody said, sir, to him. Everybody said, rabbi, to him. Amen. Everybody said, oh, what a great man. Look at the beautiful robes he's wearing. And he's walking down the road, and he looks over, and he sees this man beaten half to death, and probably thought, if I stop to help him, the thieves might come out and get me as well. And so he turned his head as though he didn't see, and he walked on. And then there was a scribe, amen, the guy whose living was copying Scripture, amen. And he knew the Word of God. He knew the center word of the Old Testament. He understood how many verses there were, how many words there were in the Old Testament, amen. He was a man of faith, praise God. And he saw that poor man who was there in the ditch, and he turned his head and he walked away. But along came a Samaritan. Along came a Samaritan. Somebody that nobody cared anything about. But there was something in his heart. He just had compassion on his fellow man. He had compassion. He could put himself in that man's position because he probably had been there before. Amen. He put himself in that man's position, and he went over and picked him up. He put some salve in his wounds, put him on his own horse, and I don't know how far he had to walk, but he walked a long way, and he took him to an inn, gave the man some money, and said, take care of him until I come back, and if you need more money, I've got more money for you. Praise God. I'm telling you tonight, he hit him right between the eyes. He told him, you don't care about anybody but yourself. Amen, but there are people around here that God can use, and he'll bypass you, and he'll go to that hungry heart. Praise God. And here was a woman of Samaria, and she's at the well. And she'd had a lot of difficulties in her life, and she was a sinner woman. And Jesus began to talk to her. In verse 7, she began to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Give me to drink. The simplest way to reach out to somebody. Give me to drink. And she looked at him. And my old pastor used to say, with a twinkle in her eye, why are you talking to me? Because she'd had four husbands, and the man she was shacked up or living with was not her husband. And it's still a sin, just like it was back then. Oh, God, help me tonight. Help me tonight. And I'm telling you tonight, praise God, she had a lot of problems. Who knows how many times she had been beaten by one of her husbands. Oh, God, help us. I could go 100 different directions here tonight. I'm just trying to feel after the Holy Ghost. But I'm telling you what, she had scars in her heart. She had scars in her mind. Who knows how many children she had from different men. Who knows how convoluted and confused the children were. And all of a sudden there's another daddy in the home. And now there's another daddy in the home. And now there's another daddy in the home. What are we going to do? How are we going to make sense out of our world? I'm telling you, friend, that's really not the way to do it. It's not the will of God. And I'm not preaching down to us here tonight. I'm just preaching the Word of God. That's where this woman was living. and he begins to talk to her. And she said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. And the woman said unto him in verse 11, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen. Praise God. That's what we need right there. I'm not going to go any further and digress on the rest of the story, but your answer is at the well tonight. Praise God. Your answer is at the well tonight. The Holy Ghost well. Not the well of this world that you got to keep going back to draw out of. Amen. Like your bank account. Just got to keep drawing it out. Amen. Until all of a sudden you get that little notice. Or the person at the counter says, I'm sorry, it is not accepted. And so you try another one. It's not accepted. Hopefully you'll find one that works. Amen. That's because you've been drawing out of the well and there ain't nothing coming back in the well. Well, praise God. Amen. Hopefully that's not the way it is. But when you eat, you get hungry again. When you drink, you get thirsty again. When you do this, you just got to do it over and over and over again. But he said, if you drink of the well that I'm talking about, what well is he talking about? He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. A river for healing from past scars. Amen. A healing. Amen. A river of provision. Amen. My God is a providing God. Amen. A river of joy. Praise God. A river of peace. There are rivers of living water that God has for us. Amen. But we've got to go to the well. Amen. We've got to go to a prayer altar until the Holy Ghost begins to come down. And when the Holy Ghost comes down and fills you, and you begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, it will be a river of living water that flows out of your life. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm telling you tonight, friend, our answer is not in anything but God. Our answer is in the Lord. The answer for America is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, praise God. I'm not political. I'm a preacher. Praise the Lord. I believe the answer is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that if every man, woman, boy, and girl will come to a place of repentance, if we will come to a place where we cast aside the old life, the old way of thinking, the old way of talking, the old way of living. Come on, somebody. If we'll cast it aside and give our lives to God, there will be a revival in your personal life. There still can be a revival in America. Amen. There can be a revival in our world. I'm hearing that many, many thousands of Muslims are giving themselves to Jesus Christ. That's the will of God. And they're seeing visions of Jesus. Why? Because they're far, far into the darkness. I'm hearing that many, many are receiving God in the country of Iran. They are saying that literally millions are receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost in communist China. They say that the apostolic church in Russia is bigger than the American church. They're oppressed. They're put down. They're suppressed. But I'm telling you, they found something that we need to find tonight, and that is the well. Praise God. We need to find the well. We need to get the water out. Amen. And drink of that living water that Jesus talked about. Your answer is in the well. Praise God. Your answer is in the Holy Ghost. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. I could take you to many scriptures tonight, and we could look at scripture. We could turn this into a Bible study, but I'm not going to do that. I love to teach Bible studies. I go to people's homes, and I teach Bible studies. I teach Bible studies during the week here at the church. I believe in the Word of God. I've seen it change hearts and lives many, many times. But I'm not going to do that tonight. But I can tell you that in Acts chapter 2, they received the Holy Ghost. And when they did, they began to speak with other tongues. I can tell you that in Acts chapter 10, the whole city of Samaria, because of that one woman at the well, they believed in Jesus Christ and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. I can take you to it. I could take you to the book, that was chapter 8, I'm sorry. And I could take you to the book of Acts chapter 10, and I could show you where Cornelius the Gentile and his whole family received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. I could take you to Acts chapter 19, where these people had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they had been baptized by John the Baptist. But when they heard the message of Jesus Christ, they were rebaptized. And they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Don't let anybody tell you that it was just for the apostles on the day of Pentecost. Don't let anybody deceive you tonight and tell you that it's of the devil. I had one young man tell me that it was of the devil. I'd only been in the church 3 months. I'd never read my Bible in my whole life. And 3 months into my walk with God, I met up with this young man who was of another religion. It was not a Christian religion, but they believe that if you speak in tongues, it's of the devil. They believe that if you're healed, it's of the devil. And I began to witness to him and share scripture with him, and he said, "How many years have you been studying the Word of God?" I said, "What?" He said, "How many years have you been studying the Word of God?" I said, "I've only been doing this about 3 months." He said, "Well, where are you getting all these scriptures?" I said, "The Holy Ghost has given them to me." He said, "You say it's the Holy Ghost. I say it's the devil." And something rose up in me. I'm just a brand new convert. Something rose up in me. And I said, "My friend, be careful what you say. Because all manner of sin and blasphemy will be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Ghost." And that he got real quiet, and the end of that conversation was right there. I'm telling you tonight, when you're witnessing, the Holy Ghost will help you. Young people, when you're studying in school, the Holy Ghost will help you. The answer is the well. The answer is the well. If you need something in your life, that's the answer. Go to the well and get in the Spirit and let God know your troubles and your trials. Amen. But not only that, let Him show you somebody that needs Him desperately. And don't tell me there's not anybody around you that needs God. There's a world around us that needs God. There are block after block after block in this city. Amen. In the next city and in Wichita. I'm telling you what, there are tens of thousands of probably several hundred thousand that need God. Amen. Just in our close vicinity. And the Holy Ghost wants to move. The Holy Ghost wants to move. Praise God. Amen. There's churches that don't believe in talking in tongues. We need to be a light to them and let the Holy Ghost be poured out in their church till the whole church is talking in tongues. Well, praise God. That's not our doxology. That's not our faith. Hey, I'm telling you something, friend. We need more than just doxology. We've got to have doctrine. We've got to know what we believe. But I'm telling you tonight, God wants to enter into covenant with us. He wants to help us in our daily walk with Him. And He will. He will if we go to the well. And we let Him fill us. And let Him fill us again. And your troubles and your fears will be washed away when you get in the Holy Ghost. But I've got a feeling there was a lady in the church that I got saved in, Sister Armstrong, little old lady, and she'd always come to church sick and always needed prayer and always needed somebody to pat her on the back. And I remember my pastor saying to me in private, he said, you know, he said, I think if God healed her, she'd be mad. Because she wouldn't have anything to have anybody pat her on the back for anymore. She just loved her troubles and loved her problems, loved her situation. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. We get so carnal. We get so caught up in our fleshly ways. One lady wasn't in church on Sunday night. My pastor went by and knocked on her door, woke her up out of bed. And she thought, oh my, what's wrong? The pastor's here. Pastor, what's wrong? He said, well, we just missed you tonight. And we were just going to tell you that we missed you. And she said, oh, I haven't been feeling good. He said, you're lying. You're mad because of so-and-so and such-and-such. And that's why you weren't in church. And all of a sudden, the real spirit of her came out. She said, that's right. Everybody over at that church is talking about me. Sylvester, my pastor wasn't, you know, polished all the time. You know what he told her? He said, oh, grow up. He said, we talk about you for about 60 seconds and then we go on to more important things. Then she got mad because they wasn't talking about her. You know what? You can't please some people. You can't make some people live for God. You can't get them excited about God. But I'm telling you what, friend, if I can just lead you to the well, if I can just get you up to the well and get the water moving and pour a little bit, amen, and help you to tap into it just a little bit, you'll say, wow, I didn't know it was that good. I want another cup of that. I want another cup of that. And before you know it, you're going to be coming to the well with the rest of us. Woo! I've been to the well. I've been to the well. Praise God. And it tastes good, and it's always available. Praise God. Lord, we need you right now. God, we need your presence right now. We need the touch of the Holy Ghost tonight, Jesus. Help us. Touch us. Help us right now. And if there's anyone in this house that has not received the Holy Ghost, oh, I just encourage you to come tonight, or just pray right where you're at and just earnestly ask God, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. There's one right there. Dennis, God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Seek Him with all of your heart and you'll find Him. If there's anyone else that would like the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you'd like to drink out of this well and feel the power of God as it flows through your body, come tonight. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. He has it for you. We'll be glad to pray with you and to help you. In Jesus' name tonight. In Jesus' name tonight. Yes, here's some men in the altar. Praise God. There's no shame in coming to the altar. If you've already received the Holy Ghost, just come on and receive it again. Let God fill you again. Hallelujah. And let the water begin to flow out of the house of God into the streets, into the towns and the cities. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost.